his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom of and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given him a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is based upon the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Thus far the text. say a baptismal hymn, a hymn of holy baptism. Well, that's what the text of the gospel is all about. How easy it is for man to conclude that there are things about God that are just hard to comprehend. In reality, though, they are beyond hard. They are actually impossible for fallen reason. Pride-filled, self-centered mankind, however, could never admit to something being impossible. That's just too limiting and humiliating. So it is said that the concept of the Holy Trinity, well, it's just hard to understand. The fact that God is three persons in one Godhead, that's just hard to understand. It's not impossible. Sure. The same goes with God working through his means of grace. The fact that his word does what it says, that it is an actual living and active word, that's just a little difficult to understand. How about that same word of God being added to water, making it a holy baptism, a baptism of regeneration? All that the mortal eye sees is water as it is poured, but in that water is the crimson flowing blood of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. That's just a little bit perplexing. That's not impossible to believe. When a pastor stands in the stead of Christ, breathing Christ's words of holy absolution, forgiving sins by the power of God's Holy Spirit-filled word, that's just a little bit complex to comprehend. Lastly, the fact that the God-man, Christ Jesus, comes down to be with you in his very body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and the wine, well, that's just, it's problematic. But not impossible to understand, really. My friends, in Christ Jesus, Nicodemus reveals man's inability to comprehend the things of God when his fallen reason pours forth the thought of going back into his mother's womb to be born again. Was he even close? Was it just a hard thing for him to comprehend? Or was it impossible? Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. The ways of God are beyond hard to understand. They are impossible for fallen mankind. There are many other things that can be thrown into the mix of being beyond hard but impossible. The fact that God Almighty reduced himself to be the size of an unseeable life at conception. Is that hard? Or is that impossible to comprehend? How about your life being hidden in Christ with God? Or that by God's doing, you are a new creation, and that the old has passed away? That's just hard or impossible? Hear now the inspired words of God. God, for I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Spirit of God searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, for what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's worth repeating. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. My friends in Christ, that is God's word proclaiming the impossibility of natural man's knowledge when it comes to the things of God. You suffer from this impossibility because of sin coursing through your veins like poisonous venom. The things of God, his way, is only spiritually discerned. At the time of Moses, people were bitten by poisonous snakes because of their grumbling against God. God tells Moses to put a snake on a pole, and when anyone looks to the snake on the pole, he shall live. Well, that makes perfect sense. That's not hard at all, isn't it? God's gift of faith simply receives his teachings. And the new nature whom God places within you trusts God's promising word of truth. Thanks be to God, the Holy Trinity, for overcoming you. This scriptural truth helps to teach why Luther explains the third petition of the Lord's Prayer as the Lord bringing you to pray against yourselves, against your old flesh. Now, the third petition, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not your will be done. That the Lord would break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh, which do not want to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. The Lord taught you to pray that petition, to pray for such a hindering. And not only in that petition, but in the sixth petition as well, that your old nature would not though the battle between flesh and the spirit rages on within you, thanks be to God for the struggle that you have two natures, an old and a new. For without the new, whose would you be? Just as the Holy Trinity was responsible for the creation of everything in the beginning, so the Holy Trinity is responsible for the recreation of that which has fallen. The recreation that takes place in holy baptism is as mysterious as the Holy Trinity, as was rightly confessed through the baptism hymn of the day. This miracle of life reborn comes from the Lord of breath. The perfect man from life was torn. Our life comes through his death. Is that just hard to understand? That your life comes through his death. It's beyond hard to understand. It's spiritually discerned. And you are blessed to have the Holy Trinity bring that discernment to you by overcoming you. A blessing that is desired day by day by the new man God has created within you. Again, that is rightly confessed in the hymn of the day in the third stanza. Let water be the sacred sign that we must die each day to rise again by his design as followers of his way. Again, that is beyond hard to understand. But God created, justifying faith, receives and confesses Christ's atoning sacrifice as the only way of salvation. And thus, being a follower of Jesus means following his way of the cross as the only way of righteousness by faith alone. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. The Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all involved in justifying faith. They never work apart from each other, but always together. And no one should ever separate them or eliminate any of them. To do so would unfaithfully teach God's truth and spread confusion and heresy. Thanks be to the Holy Trinity for preserving his own. Thanks be to the Holy Trinity for overcoming and bringing about repentance and belief. God created faith is repentant faith that receives God's impossible promises, continually bringing faith to cling to the gifts that Christ has to give in his holy word and holy sacraments. Gifts of God that keep you fixed upon Christ on the pole for the forgiveness of your sins. How blessed are you to be overcome, to be a receiver. And thus, one of the greatest mysteries of the triune God is not only his plurality within his unity, or even the incarnation, or the other impossibilities of his ways, but one of the greatest impossible mysteries for natural man to not merited for you, unlimited atonement made for the sins of the world, and yours by God-given faith, which receives his atoning merits through the means of grace which he instituted, declaring unto you Christ's righteousness, the righteousness of faith, apart from works, yet leading to works, which God brings about, giving him all the glory. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit creates and sustains his beloved bride, the church, bringing her to be spotless, clearing away her blemishes, taking her as his own, feeding and sustaining her through her wilderness journey. And that bride is you. God's ways are impossible to your fallen natural reason, and yet through the eyes of faith, gifted to you from God, rejoice that his infinite ways have been revealed to you. Be overjoyed that God keeps you fixed on Christ crucified for the salvation of your soul, by God created, justifying faith alone. And thus, in your final words of hymnody this day, your confession will sing out, "So shall our song of triumph ever be. Praise to the crucified."